From the shadows of the radio towers, this is the Gay PHX Podcast. Your community radio on demand.
It's gonna be a good day. And everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
Alrighty, Phoenix, it's Billy, and welcome to the Gay PHX Podcast. This week's episode feels extra special because for the second year in a row, Gay PHX got to be a part of the Arizona Puppy Community's Big Title Weekend. And honestly, we're still smiling about it. The energy, the love, the chosen family, the encouragement, the laughter, and of course, the barking, the absolute chaos of trying to remember 400 different puppies' names in one weekend. It was absolutely beautiful. And before we go any further, huge congratulations to the new title holders, 2026 AZ Puppy Good Boy Rex and the newly minted 2026 AZ Trainer Miss Unique. Both of these interviews were recorded before the title contest happened, which makes listening back at them even more powerful. You can actually hear the nerves, the hope, and the heart, and the passion before they step onto that stage. And now that they've won, now you get to hear two people who genuinely care about this community, connection, mentorship, growth, and creating safer spaces for people to be themselves. And getting to witness that journey in real time, well, that's exactly why we do this. That whole weekend reminded us again that queer community isn't just nightlife, it isn't just parties, it isn't just events. It's people finding places where they can finally breathe. And we're incredibly grateful that Gay PHX gets to help amplify those voices. And also, big reminder, our Tidal Wave giveaway is officially happening right now. We're giving away passes to the massive Body Positive Pool Party Weekend in Palm Springs. And trust us, this year's space theme is going to be out of this world. Head on over to GayPHX.com for all the details on how to enter. And also, don't forget, applications are now open for the upcoming Mr. Newtown title contest happening next month. So if you've been thinking about stepping into the spotlight yourself, this might be your year. Head on over to Newtown to get the details. Honestly, there's so much happening right now across the valley, it's hard to keep up sometimes. And that's why we always say, keep checking GayPHX.com. Keep listening to the station. And keep watching our socials because announcements are dropping constantly and we've got a lot more coming. But first, you know him, you love him, and somewhere in Phoenix right now, he's probably holding a nice coffee, judging someone's tank top. Let's throw it on over to your Desert Den Daddy, Brian. What's hot this week?
You're listening to Gay PHX, where community comes first.
Hey, 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 Phoenix. If your plans this weekend involve maybe staying home and being responsible, I'm going to stop you right there, because this city is about to serve drags, kings, cocktails, and vintage treasures, and enough queer energy to short-circuit a disco ball. We're talking watch parties where the room screams louder than the judges' panel, a stage dripping in masculine swagger, and a Sunday market packed with vintage finds, brunch vibes, and people looking way too good for daytime hours. This is Brian's Hot 3, your Desert Den Daddy approved guide to where the glitter is flying, the drinks are flowing, and the bad decisions are dressed incredibly well. And trust me, this is not a weekend to play it safe. Let's go. Hot pick number one, we have RuPaul's Drag Race watch party at Stacey's at Melrose, May 15th at 7 p.m. Spectrum Medical presents Lady Berry's RuPaul's Drag Race watch party, and baby, this is how Fridays are supposed to start. Join Angelique Berry and Buddha Inez every Friday night for drag, drama, side eyes, and enough screaming at the screen to count as cardio. The newest episode hits the big screen while the crowd reacts in real time, and trust me, nobody in this room watches quietly. You'll hear gasps, you'll hear cheers, you'll hear at least one person yell, "Absolutely not!" after an elimination. And honestly, that's community. No cover, no season, all the chaos you can handle. Hot pick number two, the King's Court is also at Stacey's at Melrose, May 16th at 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. All right, loosen the collar and prepare yourselves. The King's Court is bringing masculine artistry, swagger, charm, and enough confidence to make the entire room suddenly sit up straighter. This monthly Drag King Showcase is all about celebrating performers who command the stage with charisma, creativity, and a whole lot of yes sir energy. From slick suits to sexy swagger, this is the kind of show that reminds you that drag isn't one flavor, it's a full damn buffet. And let's be honest, there's something about a king with a microphone and good eye contact. Hot pick number three is Melrose Vintage Market, the Spring Revival at the Deuce, May 17th, 10 to 3 p.m. Now this is how you do Sunday. The Melrose Vintage Market is launching its summer series indoors at the Deuce, which means you can thrift, brunch, flirt, and sip cocktails without melting into the pavement. a true Phoenix miracle. You've got 20-plus curated vintage and handmade vendors, live music, craft cocktails, brunch, raffles, and a crowd designed like every hallway in the building is a runway. And let's not pretend the shopping is the only attraction. Half the fun is spotting someone across the room and suddenly deciding you do need to make one more lap around the market. Entry is $5, and yes, the air conditioning alone is worth it. Stay hydrated, stay fabulous, and if someone says just one drink, understand that is rarely how these stories end. Phoenix, this is one of those weekends where the city feels electric, where the music's louder, the hugs last longer, and the tension in the room feels just a little more delicious. So don't stay home scrolling through everyone else's fun. Go dance, go flirt, go make eye contact that lasts 1 second too long. I'm your Desert Den Daddy Brian, reminding you that this week isn't about playing it safe. It's about showing up, showing out, and letting the night take you somewhere unexpected. Until next time, coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers, I'm Brian, your Desert Den Daddy, and that's what's hot.
Want all the details? Head over to GabeDHX.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the valley.
This is what community sounds like.
This is Amanda Renfrew, enrolled agent with The Tax Person, with your tax year countdown. If your 1099B shows a zero cost basis for RSUs, do not panic. It is wrong. You already paid taxes on those shares at vesting. Updating the basis prevents paying twice. Get support with a free 15-minute consult at thetaxperson.com or look for me as The Tax Person on socials.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX Podcast.
Today on Gay PHX, one pup has spent years behind the scenes. Now he's stepping into the spotlight, running for a title that puts him front and center. Please welcome to the rainbow-tinted microphone, good boy Rex. All righty, first off, thank you for taking the time for signing up and doing this interview. We really are excited to get to know you.
Well, thank you for having me.
So let's start with the basics. For someone who's never met you, how would you describe who you are and what matters most to you?
That is a difficult one. Okay.
Let's start with the easy part. Who is Rex?
So Rex is a very good boy. I'd say as Rex, most would describe me as very obedient, very service-oriented, a dog who thrives on structure and discipline. But I also can be a very playful puppy and just a silly puppy as well.
So what matters most to you as a submissive?
As a submissive, I'd say devotion, of course, structure, pleasing my dominance. But even when I don't necessarily have a 24/7 handler or owner, just maintaining those habits within myself and being of service, acting in the way I think a submissive should when I'm out in the community and at events.
What drew you to this world originally?
I initially discovered pup play from the broader kink community. I always identified as a submissive. I always was really drawn to power exchange, but there was something that didn't quite fit with a standard master-slave dynamic. And I think with pup play, it enabled me to access that part of submission where there's a little more affection involved. I think a lot of dominants are more affectionate and gentler with a pup just because that's the way you would be with an actual dog. And something about that connection just really felt right for me. And that's what first really drew me in.
And have you been a handler before in performances? Is that correct? Have I heard that?
As a handler, no. I've always been a pup and a submissive. So I've performed with handlers, but that's always been like a very small role. It's really to highlight the dominant, and I'm just there as a submissive or in the background following cues. And this will be my first time kind of being the focus, which feels a little funny for me because I always say I'm just a dog. So really, when I am out with a handler, with a dominant, I see myself almost as like their accessory, and it's not really about me, it's about them. So that's why I've hesitated to do something like this. So it is different for me, but I am excited about it.
So help me understand, then, does this give you... Explain the funniness. How does it make you, the feeling that you're getting as far as stepping out of being, as you say, an accessory towards the spotlight?
Yeah, it just feels different because I guess it goes against, or it went against what I initially thought was like my place as a submissive. And that is to be seen and not heard and to just be a good boy and just be there like at a handler's side. But I've realized that being a leader in the pup community, I can do that and still maintain my submissive identity because it's being of service to this community that has done so much for me. So it's pushing me out of my comfort zone, but I think it'll be a really great step.
Does it feel evolutionary for you as far as a step forward, a step out of what you have always been before?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's why I really went back and forth with the idea of doing it, because it felt very, how do I say it? It felt like once I stepped out of that role, like there wouldn't be any taking it back. So I had to be sure it was something I was ready to do.
Right. Now, if you do win AZ Puppy 2026, what do you hope to do with that platform?
So with that platform, I would love to go to international competition, of course. But with that platform, I think just being of service to our community, whatever that looks like. And that's something I try to do even without any title, just to always be approachable to other community members, to always be willing to talk to people who are curious about the community. So just continuing to spread that. I also would like to bring more pup play into wider kink events, not necessarily pup-focused events, but just general kink events within the community. Having more opportunity for pup play and pup play education at those.
For example, I haven't been to Chrome in a while, and the last time I went, there was no demos because they were celebrating the anniversary, which I found ironic. But is there a pup play demo there at Chrome?
I have seen lots of pups there. I haven't run into a specific pup demo.
There's not a mosh pit there.
No, not that I've seen.
Okay.
But I don't want to say that specifically in case they have had one. But anytime
sure.
I've
understood.
Gone, I haven't seen that.
For the uneducated, yeah, please explain what a mosh pit is.
So for a mosh, there will be some sort of mat, usually like wrestling mat, and pups will play. It's almost like puppy wrestling. Depending on the pup's comfort level, there will be full-on wrestling, or some will just want to play with toys. But it's really a chance for pups to just get into that full puppy headspace and just be playful and just use their imagination and their creativity. But it's something we've had at events in Phoenix. And it's also a great intro to pup play because people will see it and be like, that looks so fun. And it'll make them curious. And sometimes they'll get down and try it for the first time. And that's always really great also.
What's one thing that you wish more people understood about pup play?
I wish more people understood that there can be more depth to it than people realize. One aspect of it is just the playful fun and the community aspect, and that's great. But it also can be a great stress reliever for people. It can give them a chance to relax and just feel free being themselves. That kind of can go both ways, because while I want people to understand it's not always inherently kinky or sexual, also understanding, I would also love to see people understanding or curious about learning about some of the kinkier aspects and the power exchange dynamics behind some of it.
And how do people learn more about pup play?
I think just talking to pups. Like, that's one thing I've loved since becoming more active in the community. I'll have people who just interact with me briefly at an event, and then later they'll DM me because it opens up this curiosity in them. Yeah, just talking to pups, interacting with pups, because everyone is so different, but it's such a wonderful community and one of the most welcoming communities I've seen. So yeah, you can research online, but nothing's going to really give you the same perspective as you would get from just going out and interacting with some puppies and some handlers.
You can get some book knowledge by reading, but really by talking and exploring and talking to the community. I too have found the pup community to be very welcoming. I love the pup community. I adore them so much. That's why we're so excited to be part of the title contest again this year. We started last year. We found out late, so we didn't get to do a whole lot. But this year, we're already and raring to go.
It's such a welcoming community. And I love the way it brings people together, too. I think people just see that playfulness and that joy. And it's a feel-good atmosphere all around, I think, when puppies are present.
When you're in the mosh pit and someone gets a little aggressive, how do you communicate to them that they're being too...
Usually prior to moshing, there will be some set of consent negotiation and like signal discussed. Or like me, I'm often nonverbal when I'm in pup space. Right. So I'll like point with my paw to the others who are moshing, wait for them to nod if I can join them. Typically start out very gently and always waiting, like I'll raise a paw up before I even touch the mourn and wait for them to nod consent before even engaging with them in that way. And just starting very gradually. I don't think anyone's going to go in and be just full-fledged aggressive. But when that happens, from what I've seen, like if someone is maybe they've drank a little too much and crossing those boundaries, is even when pups are maybe in a nonverbal state, I will see bystanders go in and check on everyone and make sure everyone's okay. But yeah, there's both verbal and nonverbal cues are really big in pup play.
And I'll say whenever I have seen a mosh pit, there's always been someone overseeing that I...
Oh yeah, yeah. There'll be a monitor there. Oftentimes that's Miss Unique, who hopefully you'll be interviewing as well.
Yes, I believe they signed up actually just today. I saw that one pop up. I'm like, oh yay, now they're excited. How about you? Are you nervous, excited, both?
I am excited, but I am nervous just because, yeah, like I said, I'm normally like nonverbal as a pup. Like right. I'm just a dog. I don't talk. I am interacting in a different way. So this is different, but I am excited.
So help me understand, when you're performing and you're on stage, are you going to remain nonverbal or you are going to speak? You are now going to use your voice.
So I won't give away, but for okay. My fantasy performance, I'll be nonverbal in that. I really wanted to remain authentic to who I am as a pup, so I will not be verbal in that. But there is the interview portion, so I'll have to use my voice for that. And then there will be some on-stage questions. I will have to speak on stage in front of people. So I'm a little nervous about that, but I think I can manage it.
Considering how well you've been doing here, I think you're going to do fine. You're going to be just fine.
Thank you.
So for someone who's drawn to explore this side of themselves, what would you tell them?
I would tell them, don't worry about what people will think or if it's weird. Like all those thoughts, I think, cross through a lot of people's heads when they're exploring something new. I'd say just go to an event and just, you don't even have to go out in gear or anything like that. Like just go and talk to people or even DM if there's some pups you've been following or have met, send them a message, ask them questions. Like this is one of the most welcoming communities, if not the most welcoming community. And if you decide you're not a pup, that's fine. Like you're still welcome at our events. So it can't hurt if you have any curiosity about it. It can't hurt to check it out. Or actually, if you're curious, you should come to AZ Puppy Weekend is what you really should do.
Right.
Because that'll be a really great intro. Come to the kickoff party and come to the contest. I think that's like the ideal way to be introduced to pup play.
Awesome. And how can people connect with you or learn more about what it is that you're up to?
Mostly on Instagram. That is where I'm most active. I am goodboyrex1.
Excellent. You definitely earned the title of good boy today, Rex. So thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate you doing this today.
Well, that's to you.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the GatePHX podcast.
I'm Brittany Labadie, managing partner at Lewis Labadie.
And I'm Daniel Lewis, founding partner. We practice comprehensive family planning for the community.
From adoption, surrogacy, and prenups to divorce and estate planning.
No assumptions, no judgments, just respectful guidance.
Free phone consultations. Mention GatePHX Radio. Visit us at lewislabadie.com.
That's Lewis, L-E-W-I-S.
Labadie, L-A-B-A-D-I-E.
Your life, your family,
your goals.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX podcast.
Today on Gay PHX, you're about to meet someone turning power, play, and community into something real and impossible to ignore. From leather to pups, from teaching to leading, the next voice is stepping up with a clear vision and a platform built on growth, connection, and showing up fully. With AZ Puppy Weekend right around the corner and the road to AZ Trainer 2026 in motion, the energy is building and so's the impact. Please welcome to the rainbow tinted microphone, Unique. Okay, so for people listening to you for the first time, who are you and how did you begin your journey into BDSM?
So my name now, with my honorific, is Miss Unique. I started my kink and BDSM journey just after I turned 18. So it's already been 2 decades in the Renaissance Circuit of California, nonetheless. If your brownies can be kinky.
Oh, I did not.
And I moved to Arizona in June of 2013, where I joined the Phoenix community. I started out in a daddy dom little dynamic with Master Yeti, and over the last almost 13 years our relationship has progressed. I now am a self-proclaimed little on a power trip. I like to be a little when it comes to playing with toys, dressing up, all this other kind of stuff. But I'm now more on the dominant, controlling side of the kink world.
So you said little on a power trip. What does that mean to you, and how does that shape how you show up?
So in the kink BDSM world, they use the title switch as somebody who is both dominant and submissive. To me, that's not, I see it as like an on and off type thing, like a light switch. And that just doesn't flow with me. So when I've self-proclaimed myself a little on a power trip, it means I'm still a little in a little headspace, but I'm still also in control of my relationships and my dynamics other than what I have with Master Yeti.
So tell us about the dynamic with Master Yeti and your chosen family. How has that influenced your growth?
So my relationship and dynamic with Master Yeti, when we first got together, I was not the very nicest of brats. I was very malice and rude and mean. And he basically reformed me within our daddy little dynamic. I grew up basically, so I've learned to be more controlling within my environment. I know when to do things, when not to do things better. And it's progressed me over these last couple of years because I've stumbled upon the path of leather without even realizing it, and which stumbled onto me learning about puppies and where I find my happy place. And it's just made me a better version of myself.
And that leads right into this. You're known as a kennel mama in the pup community. What does that role mean and why is that important?
So to me, the kennel mama role got bestowed upon me. And I still to this day do not have a clear idea why. Because I have literally just been my true authentic self. I am one of the people that I know of that as long as everybody that I'm around is living their true authentic self, they're happy in their skin, they're on their own path, they're trying to figure themselves out, it does not matter anything else, even though that stuff is important. To me, I'll treat anybody the way that they treat me. And the kennel mama thing was, is because I guess I am very feminine. I am, my pronouns are she, her. I do identify as a female. And I guess because I have such a nurturing nature to me, the pups are drawn to me. And they see me as this motherly figure that all of them can come to, no matter what. And talk about things. And even if they're having a bad day, they absolutely know that even if I'm not in my best of headspaces, if I'm having a hard day, if they come up to me and say, I just need a hug, they're going to get a hug. They're going to get the press scratches, and they're going to get told that they're doing the best that they can and that I'm proud of them no matter what.
Hey, you had talked about that you had met your first puppy a while back, but how did your connection with the pup community like really begin in foster?
So it really began in foster when I met a pup at the time did not have a name back in 2022. And in June of 23, he and I got together. And when we were talking, I used to call him Goober because he would always be a goofball. And when he heard it, because of the definition of Goober, is silly yet not necessarily smart. And I told him, no, flat out. You're the smartest, you are smart. It's that you're just goofy, and all I keep hearing in my head is a goofy goober. So when I adopted him, Goober became his name. And our first anniversary event, we went to an ice skating rink that was hosted by the Bark Park Group. I don't even remember how I found them, but I found this event. This is something he and I both agreed to do, and that's where we went. We went ice skating with a bunch of these pups in hoods, didn't know anybody from Adam, and it just went on from there. I got connected with Pup Maya, Pup Zeus, shortly after. And they were like, hey, you seem like an energy that we would like to have involved. Would you be willing to come and join the group? I said, sure. And I haven't left.
That's awesome. Now, let's talk about Easy Puppy Weekend. What can people expect and why should they show up?
So for Easy Puppy Weekend, which I cannot believe is already 4 days away.
I know, right?
Oh, so the meet and greet on Friday night at Stacy's, there's going to be Jello shots. There's a couple of the pups, I don't know exactly who, that's going to be in a dunk tank raising money for the travel fund. I know you'll get to meet all of the pup contestants as well as myself. Saturday, you're going to see all of the pups and I performing on stage at Cobalt and showing you guys who we are individually as pups. And also Trader. And then obviously the after party and everything else like that. I do know it's not necessarily announced on the official weekend, but on Sunday, we're actually bringing back our Arizona Pup Mosh. So I'm excited for that one too, because then I'm just probably going to sit there and chill and puppy pile.
Oh, very fun. Now you're running for AZ Trainer. What inspired you to take that step?
Originally, I might cry and I apologize for this. So last year, I was asked to go to Chicago and do the show ring with the AV Puppy 2024 Pup Sticks as the handler in the show ring. And I go to this event, and I had never been to an international title contest like this. So I had no expectations. And being around that, like a community that I know of in Arizona, but seeing it like more broad aspect of it, because there were so many different versions of pup play in that one moment, made me realize that this is something I truly want to be fully a part of. And when I got back from that trip, I sat down with the late Master Dennis, who is the, sorry, bringing him up his heart still.
Understood.
The patriarch of the Dragon Clan. And I told him, if they ever have an Arizona trainer handler title, I want to run. And he looked at me and he asked me why. I couldn't really give an answer at that time. And it wasn't until the announcement this year that they were bringing in the Arizona trainer that I went to Miss Barney, who is the matriarch of the Dragon Clan. And I'm like, he asked me why last year and I could not give an answer. I now have the answer, so I have to give it to you. And I told her that I see so much potential in the pup play community to bridge there. I see a gap, and it's not a bad gap, but it does happen within the kink world and the BDSM world and everything else. There's a gap, a small gap, and I want to find a way to bridge it. And I don't necessarily know if the title will help or if the title will hinder, but I want to at least get that message out there. And I feel that even running for the title will help me do that and show my platform to a wider range and hopefully start building a bridge.
And where is that bridge? What is this gap that you're talking about here? Help me understand.
So the gap that I personally see is pup play originated in the kink and BDSM world, in the leather community. Now, over the decade, or just even a little bit more than a decade, I'm not quite sure on the time frame, pup play has become more of a social expression of one's identity as a pup and everything else that goes on with it. And there's some pups that aren't into the kink and BDSM, where there's some are. And I do see a slight rift. There's none, and it's not a negative thing. It's just seeing the differences, and the differences not understanding each other. I want to be able to find a way to go, this side, I'm going to try to explain how this side works and try to explain how this side works to the best of my ability, so at least that there's some cohesion and understanding from both ends, so the rift isn't there anymore and the bridge is able to open up that line of communication.
So I think I understand, and help me as I try to parrot it back to a certain degree to make sure I do. I'm going to try and translate it. So there are pups that are not into the kinky part of it, but still enjoy pup play for the social aspects of it. And maybe they're being shunned, or maybe they are shunning. I'm not sure who is doing any, but maybe they're shunning between social pups versus kinky pups.
I don't think shunning would be the best word. I think it's, to me, stunning is a little too harsh. I think
okay.
It's more of...
That's where the gap is, though.
Yeah, okay. That's where the gap is.
Okay.
It's more of there. I don't necessarily know if even unwillingness, but there's that gap, and I can't describe it because everybody's perspective is different.
Sure.
Everybody sees things differently. So it's just one of those, I guess part of it is because I do try to see everybody's side. Even if I can't live in that person's shoes or be 100%, I at least still try to understand to the best of my ability. And that's where I would like to see that happen.
Better just understanding. Sure. Yes. I can get that. I can get behind that. I understand it better. So what do you think makes a strong trainer, especially in today's evolving community?
To me, a strong trainer is understanding that you can't fix everything, that you are human, and you probably should not try to take on the world, and patience.
What was the last thing? Sorry.
Patience.
Patience. Okay.
Patience is a virtue.
And for someone who's curious. Especially, oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Especially when you know that there's over 300 puppies, at least in one state, that you talk, not necessarily talk to every single one, but you know that they're around and there's a lot going on.
There are definitely a lot of pups here. It's been amazing. That's why I was like, whoa, I did not realize. And for
I didn't realize either.
For someone who's curious or nervous about entering either the leather or the pup space, what would you say to them?
For somebody who's, what was the question? Somebody who's what?
For someone who's curious, but they're nervous about either entering either the leather space or the pup space.
If they know somebody that is already in one of those two spaces, ask to go with them. If I know if somebody's new to the pup space or leather and they're not sure, I'll look at them and go, okay, why don't you come with me? Tag along, stick close. I can introduce you to people if you want, or if you just want to sit and observe with me next to you, that is fine. It's one of those, having somebody who knows the scenes does really help. Now, if they're brand new and they don't know anybody, and if they've stayed on any social media accounts, I will be the first one to speak up and go, okay, I can make it to this event. Why don't you and I meet 5-10 minutes before the event or half an hour, whatever. Let's sit and talk, and I can give you a general idea of what to expect. If I can't make it, then usually I see others go, we'll be there, we can meet you, and everything else like that. So having, what's the word I'm looking for?
A pack.
Yeah. Well,
really?
Pack will work. Yeah, pack will work. But the other thing, what is it that's, oh my goodness. So one of the other things that I've called myself, and it's really funny because it's just, it's all mainly because of this pup community. I've told some pups that I am what they can call their emotional support extrovert. Because I am extroverted. Don't get me wrong. I do love my isolation, but I do being around people more than I like being isolated. So I will literally go, I will be your emotional support extrovert. If you want to show up and be like, I call it like a shadow, where they'll stay slightly behind me but to my side, and they just want to be introduced to people, or if they just want me to block them if they're having too much, I have no problem doing it. So having that extrovert that's willing to introduce but also keep that boundary kind of thing is always great to have, in my opinion.
I want to make that into a t-shirt for you. That's awesome.
Oh.
Emotionally support extrovert.
Emotionally support extrovert. And then there's already been talk, because there's so many pups, you would think, I am so thankful that pups most of the time wear dog tags or some sort of name badge so I can know what their name is. Because there are so many names to remember.
I am so glad you said something, because I feel so bad when I cannot remember the names. And I'm like, there are so many, and I'm trying so hard. And I'm bad with names in the first place when I see your face.
Yeah. Some of the times I don't even see their physical face.
Right.
Because there's so many And there's so many pups that wear similar hoods because they get a basic hood, which is black with a solid color. They blend in.
And
so there actually will possibly be a t-shirt made at some point. I don't ask their name. I just look at them and go, which pup are you? And one of our pups wants to make that into a t-shirt with just the silhouette of a pup hood in the center.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh my God, it's insane.
And I love it. I do love it. It's just, oh, wow. There's so many. And they're so cool. There's so many different awesome hoods and color combinations. And
And you think we'd have more duplicate names. Luckily, there's not that many so far.
I have not. Yeah, knock on wood, in all the journeys of all the pups we've met, we've never met a pup with the same name. I've never come across someone. And I thought that was amazing. I was like, is there a registry somewhere that I don't know about?
Okay, I'm glad you have, because you haven't yet, but I have.
Oh, okay. You probably interact with many more pups than I do.
I know that I have one of the pups that I'm mama to. I don't fully own him. I'm just his mama.
Mm-hmm.
I met another pup with the same name as him, but in a different state.
Oh.
So, I don't own that one. I own the other one. Luckily, they're two different colored pups. Thank God. If they were the same color, I'd be scared.
I think we need like a pup registry where we can all register our names and certify.
No, I don't.
What's been the most rewarding moment for you in your journey so
far? Oh my gosh, there's too many. I'm going to be 100% honest. The most rewarding thing for my journey, especially with being the pup, is making the connections that I have, the friendships and the bonds, and the fact that they see me as they do, and all I am is being myself. It's really hard to explain because like I said, to this day, I still don't understand why some of the pups call me mama. I do understand why some of them call me coach, but at the same time, it's like, I'm just being me, and I'm just enjoying being around a community that I support and enjoy. So that to me is rewarding in itself, and that to me is what I want to continue to build and grow.
What's something people might not expect about you outside of the...
Something that they wouldn't expect outside of the scene. I can't do math worth crap.
I can't either. Numbers are hard.
I'm sitting on what? I'm afraid of height. I'm an open book to a degree because mostly, so my nickname is unique. My legal name is as it is.
Right.
And mostly everybody in my life knows me in the lifestyle. Like, I have, like, my family knows only about the poly aspect of my lifestyle. They don't know the rest. And that's okay. So it's just one of those things where I'm such an open book that as long as I feel comfortable telling you, I don't really have many things that people don't really know about me.
So what is what you get?
Yeah, basically.
Excellent.
That's basically me.
Where can listeners follow you, support you, and stay connected with you on your journey after the post-contest and everything?
So I'm on Instagram as MS_Unique602 on Instagram. You can also find me at Miss Unique on FetLife. And then I'm also on Telegram. I don't remember what that handle is, but I'm also it's Miss Unique something on Telegram.
All right, Miss Unique, good luck with this weekend. I can't wait to see you. And thank you so much for taking the time to do this today.
Thank you for having me on. I can't wait for this weekend, too. It's going to be a blast.
Another reason we love this community. I'm Daddy Dave, your friend in the fight to end stigma. And I'm the founder of Team Friendly, here today to talk about pleasure and sexual health. Sexual health prevention is an important aspect of healthcare. It's more than just about assessing your risks and minimizing those risks. Good health care is also about recognizing the pleasure you want to get out of your sex life. It's about feeling informed, empowered, and good in your own skin. Pleasure and safety can exist together when we have honest conversations, access to judgment-free healthcare, and respect for ourselves and each other. Choosing a friendly approach to sexual health is important. Find a healthcare clinic where these conversations just flow freely. Ask questions, know your options, desires, and limits, and communicate them openly. Let's live our lives fully with less fear and goals to improve our health.
Pride lives here.
What an incredible reminder of why community matters. Again, huge congratulations to AZ Puppy Good Boy Rex and AZ Trainer Miss Unique. Thank you both for trusting us with your stories before the contest, and thank you for everything that you're already doing to help build stronger, safer, and more connected spaces for people throughout our community. And honestly, Phoenix, getting to be a part of AZ Puppy Weekend for the second year in a row was something we don't take lightly. Seeing the support, seeing people outside of their comfort zones, seeing chosen family showing up for each other, seeing people find joy in being fully themselves, that stuff matters a lot. And to everyone who came up to us during the weekend, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for talking to us. Thank you for learning about the station. Thank you for believing in what we're building, because this thing we're creating together, it keeps growing. And we've got even more coming. And don't forget, the Tidal Wave giveaway is happening right now over at GayPHX.com. And applications are officially open for Mr. Newtown Title Contest next month. New announcements are constantly dropping on the station, so keep tuned to GayPHX throughout the week so you don't miss what's next. And huge love to the people and organizations continuing to lend their voices, support, knowledge, and belief in this growing little queer media experiment of ours. Lookout News, The Tax Person, Team Friendly, and everyone else who's helping keep community voices loud and visible. And remember, if you've got a business, an event, a nonprofit, a project, a performance, a podcast, a fundraiser, or something you want the community to know about, reach out to us. GayPHX has a free business directory because we genuinely believe that local queer visibility matters. This isn't about corporate noise. It's about community awareness, community connection, and helping each other survive and thrive together. And to you listening right now, thank you. Seriously, because without you, none of this exists. And if you see us out and about, come grab a selfie with us. We love you, Phoenix.
We're together, the sun is bright, and there's nowhere better than by your side.
For hanging out with the Gay PHX podcast. Be kind. Be bold. Be you.